What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, coming to you live at 10 a.m. Eastern, as we always do. Packers Daily in the house after a sweet, sweet Packers victory on Sunday night. Now the Packers get ready for their Monday night showdown with the Atlanta Falcons. The Packers are in today. Usually Tuesday is their off day, but we will hear from a number of players, including Ty Summers, who will be taking over the inside linebacker spot for the foreseeable future while Christian Kirksey works through his shoulder injury. We'll hear from Corey Linsley and a couple other players. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, the players will have off. So tomorrow will be their off day, and then they will proceed with a normal week starting on Thursday, a normal practice week, that is. So timeline will be a bit different. However, we'll still be having Packer transplants Wednesday night at 5 p.m. So be there, be square here on YouTube or Facebook. As well, the Patreon happy hour will be this evening. I haven't put it up on patreon.com/cheeseheadtv yet, but look for that information. That'll be later this evening. Can't do it after transplants this week, so we'll be doing it tonight. And yeah, other than that, good morning to everybody in the comments section. C. Curry 21, are the hype videos coming out every Friday? Around there, Thursday nights, Fridays, maybe even Saturday this week because it's a Monday game. We'll see. Cody does a phenomenal job with them. Each and every one so far has been mwah, chef's kiss. But, you know, he does have a day job. The man does have to work. So whenever they arrive, they arrive. Let's remind everybody out there, Cody is the one who said he's going to do one every week. So just looking for him to keep it up because the first three have been phenomenal. Patrick, morning. When is the podcast Nagler's Never Right? It'll be up probably later today, maybe tomorrow. Not quite sure. Working out some scheduling things, but that'll be in the next 24 hours or so. Kiki, man, he looked good. Matthew, he did. He had a strong game. No doubt about it. It's interesting because I had said on the broadcast that I wanted to see the coverages on the All-22, which became available last night, because both of those on both of those plays, Drew Brees doesn't have to hold the ball. He does hold the ball. On the second one, I thought Brees actually had a shot downfield that he didn't take. But you can't knock Kiki for the effort. Fantastic job by him. Both of those plays, especially the first one where he knocks the ball free, a turnover-type play. Obviously, the Saints recovered it. But that's what you want from your defensive tackle. Those are the types of plays they need to make, especially in a game where it's so close, so back and forth. Anything to set them back is greatly appreciated. Now, of course, one of those occasions, they ended up converting, but the other time they ended up punting. So that's all you can ask from young Kiki at this point. Dan Leischer, thank you so much. Since I can't buy you a beer in person, thank you for the super chat. My old drinking mate down there in North Carolina. Dan, hope Milwaukee's treating you well. Salud. Hey, look, I've got a Chewbacca mug just for you, buddy. Thank you, Dan. Hope you're doing well, buddy. MA, thanks for the super chat. What is it going to take for Matt LaFleur to get some hype slash recognition? It's starting to build a little bit. I think, you know, he's always going to be in Aaron Rodgers' shadow, at least, you know, as long as Rodgers is throwing up insane numbers and being Aaron Rodgers. I think he's always going to be a little bit, you know, kind of overshadowed, if you will. That said, like I said, I do think there's a little bit of buzz building around him. They keep winning games. That'll come. That'll happen. But he's always going to be kind of seen as, you know, oh, he's got Aaron Rodgers, which, of course, is funny because, you know, everyone spent the offseason telling us that Aaron Rodgers was washed. So that recognition, the buzz, whatever, that will come in time. There's no doubt about it. What do we got? A bunch of super chats here. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. What is Lazard's contract situation? He's earning himself a hell of an eventual undrafted free agent paycheck. God bless Jacksonville for leaving him on the practice squad. Well, Dustin, yeah, and thank God nobody else claimed him when the Packers cut him last summer to put him on their practice squad. I'm not quite sure of his contract situation. I think he might be playing on the last year tender. Hold on a second. Owen Lazard. Riveting. Yeah, it's a one-year deal he's playing on, I believe. Yep. He's a free agent at the end. Or is he on? He's an exclusive rights free agent. So he's not going anywhere. The Packers will be able to control his rights regardless of the numbers he puts up this year. What else we got here? Joe. Joe's Home Theater, thanks for the super chat. I feel the number one lesson love should be learning is cadence can be a weapon. Also, Matt LaFleur, not bad at all. No doubt about it. Hey, you know, Rodgers makes no bones about the fact that he took Favre's cadence. You know, so it'd be passing it along from generation to generation of Packers quarterback. I'd be down for that. But yes, the use of it, no question about it. It is a weapon, and you've seen that on display week after week, especially in these away games where there's no crowd. It's amazing. Rodgers generates free plays when the referees actually allow them to happen. But it's certainly a weapon regardless. Preston, thank you for the super chat. I think there's a noticeable difference in Rodgers' spirit / body language this year so far compared to previous years. Winning helps, but do you agree? Yeah, we've talked about it a lot, Preston. I think there's no question he's more centered, to use his words, and enjoying things and really kind of, I don't want to say, you know, he's talked a lot about his headspace and where he's at personally, etc. I'm not going to sit here and play shrink, but I don't think there's any question. Yes, he's enjoying himself, which always helps, you know. Like you say, winning helps, but I don't doubt for a second that the Packers doing, you know, basically showing that they're going to be, they're readying for life after him, maybe drew into relief for him his Packers mortality, if you will, the idea that he probably won't finish his career in Green Bay. And that allows him to let go and say, all right, I am just going to control what I can control. I'm going to have a good time doing it. And so far, you got to love the results. Nathan, thanks for the super chat. Where's Curtis Bolton at? King versus Julio, Euchre season. Yeah, King versus Julio is what I expect. I think they'll roll coverage with King over to Julio if Julio's available. I know he missed the Bears game. And then leave Jair one-on-one on the backside with Ridley. Now, that said, where's Curtis Bolton at? He has still been recovering from his injury. He's been on the non-football injury list, but he's been on a reserve list because he never practiced. I believe he's on the PUP officially because he never practiced once during camp. So still recovering from that injury that he suffered in preseason last year. Sam, thanks for the super chat. Can we tip our hats to Mark Murphy? The man deserves a ton of credit for Titletown, his work in the community, and now the hiring of Matt LaFleur. Yeah, Sam, and as I said at the time, and I said a couple times this summer, that last bit is going to define his legacy. No matter what he had done with Titletown, community work as far as social justice or with COVID-19 response, etc., all of that is secondary when it comes to how he's going to be remembered, and that's with the hiring of Matt LaFleur. And obviously the division of the hierarchy with, you know, creating the idea that both the GM and the head coach are reporting to him. But the hiring of Matt LaFleur, that is the thing that people will remember. And if they continue down this path, they win a bunch of games. And especially if Jordan Love works out and they are able to transition from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love, all of those things will come into play. But Matt LaFleur being as good as it looks like he is this early on, and it is still very early, no doubt is the biggest feather in his cap and will be how he is remembered. That will define his legacy in the next 20 plus years. No doubt about it. But yes, I've given Mark a bunch of props both here and on Twitter. I have definitely come around on him. I was lukewarm early on, especially after the Favre bribe, and certainly wasn't a fan of the idea of breaking up the power structure. But as I said at the time, you got to let it play out. It's playing out pretty well so far. It's a lot, still very early, but no doubt Mark Murphy has navigated some tough waters and seems to be succeeding rather admirably. Walter, thank you for the super chat. Barnes or Summers, should we get a vet there still? I mean, it's not a complete impossibility. I would think if there's a move to be made, if they're going to make that kind of move, it would be made today. Whether that's something off somebody off the waiver wire, whether that's a free agent that's sitting out there, or even a trade, although I don't see a blockbuster deal for anybody, maybe a, you know, late day three pick for somebody who's maybe not playing a ton on another team. But actually, I'd be surprised if they went down that route. I tend to think Summers will step up. It'll be Summers time until you know, Kirksey gets back, and who knows, maybe Summers shines and never gives the job back. I don't foresee that happening, but you never know. You know, he was definitely thrown into the fire there in New Orleans, and I got to say, he held up a hell of a lot better than I expected he would. Yes, he had a couple missed tackles, no question about it. Got to clean that up. Something we saw last summer, but down in and down out, I thought he played pretty damn well. So we'll see. As we know, the Packers have never really prioritized that position whatsoever for whatever reason. You know, they deny that. But of course, all you got to do is look at their history and look at, you know, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Well, what they've done is really devalue that position. So they seem to think they can get by. And Summers is the latest candidate to help them try and get by. It's going to be fun to watch. But like I said at the outset here to this question, I wouldn't completely dismiss that idea, a possibility of going to get a vet, but I would be surprised. What happened to the linebacker we drafted from Minnesota? Nolan, he is on injured reserve. Kamal Martin was having a phenomenal, and I mean phenomenal, training camp. But then he got hurt. He can come off injured reserve after 3 weeks, but when the injury was first reported, they said it would be about 8 weeks. So I would look for him probably in the middle of the season, maybe a little later. Dustin, thank you for the super chat. Based on what you saw this summer, how much would Kamal Martin help the run defense? A bit, Dustin. Definitely a bit. He's an active guy, flies to the football. His run fits were really good. I think they were better than Kirksey's, actually, this summer. So, yeah, I think he will definitely help when he's available. Philip, thanks for the super chat. Hello from Switzerland. What is going on with EQ? Thanks for the great content. Philip, he is on injured reserve. He is eligible now to come off of it because it's been – No, he's not yet. Not yet. One more week for EQ to come off of IR because he was placed on injured reserve after the first week with a knee injury. So he was down. He wasn't active for the first game. And then he appeared on the injury report. And then he was put on IR. So he's got another week to go. And then he can be brought off. But until then, he's on the sideline in street clothes. Brewers versus White Sox World Series. Tommy, dare to dream, buddy. Dare to dream. Is there a reason why Pettine has been starting slow and finishing strong or vice versa? I feel like he hasn't put a full game together for a while. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say with any kind of certainty and or authority if you don't know what the game plan is and what the calls are. Now, you can look at the coverages and you can look at things that maybe got adjusted to the line of scrimmage. You can see how guys are playing. But ultimately, you don't really know what his thinking is going into the game, how he wants to attack an opposing offense, etc. I will say this. I do think if you watch some of the better defenses in this league, you see teams that are able to dictate to the offense. We saw that with the Saints on Sunday night a couple times. They got Aaron Rodgers more than once. I never see Pettine get an opposing quarterback, especially a vet, where he shows them one thing and he gives the guys the ability at the line of scrimmage to manipulate and or change after that quarterback shows or indicates that he knows what's coming. Oftentimes you'll see the Packers get caught in a look, a quarterback will make an adjustment, and then they'll just keep on with that same play call. It's kind of wild to me that they don't have a better mechanism for getting out of and or changing whatever call they have. Because again, every veteran quarterback seems to take advantage of that. And until that changes, I think that's going to be a problem. Patrick, thanks for the super chat. Messi to Manchester City. You know, I don't want to hear about it, man. Enough Man City in my life. Corey, what are your thoughts on Ty Summers? Just talked about him a little bit ago. I think he held up pretty damn well in New Orleans, surprisingly well, better than I would have thought. And he's going to have to continue to learn on the job because he's probably going to be taking over that middle spot for Christian Kirksey while he's recovering from that shoulder injury. What else we got here? Fire capers, no doubt. I thought 11-5 early. Is 12-4 or 13-3 possible? Yeah, Deshaun, thanks for the super chat. Yeah, of course. 1,000% possible. Now, still very, very early. Things have a way in the NFL of either evening out or falling back or changing or developing, etc. What this team is right now won't be what the team is in November. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, Corey put it best on Twitter. This team can beat anybody. Yes, it's the NFL any given Sunday, but there is no team in this league, including the Chiefs, who we saw take apart the Ravens last night, that the Packers should fear at all. They can score on anyone. They can control the ball on anyone. The Packers are absolutely opportunistic on defense. They can make plays on defense to change games. We've seen that each and every week. Now, they have to be more consistent on the defensive side of the ball, but there's not a team they can't beat. And when you got that going, yeah, 13-3, 12-4, certainly possible. Was Kirksey a bad idea we knew he was injury prone and took a shot on him. Now he's out for a few weeks. I don't think it's a bad idea when they got him for dirt cheap, you know, especially if you look at the other deals that, you know, the Giants, the Raiders, et cetera, spent in free agency. They got him for pennies on the dollar. So now they get Ty Summers to come in there, a guy who's been in their system for a couple of years, and take over. We'll see what happens if and when Kirksey returns, you know, for a negligible input money, you know, money wise. I think it's a decent ROI. So I wouldn't call it a bad idea. You knew what you were getting. You weren't paying a lot for it. He whiffed three times, did not hold up well. Mike, now go back and actually watch the tape instead of the highlights and the stuff that you just saw on television, because he actually did hold up well. See, this is the stuff that pisses me off. Just because you miss a couple of tackles doesn't mean you're a bad player or you had a bad game. A bunch of people miss tackles. Whole lot of people. Some really good players miss tackles on Sunday night. Man, elevate your game, man. Come on. Bryson, thanks for the super chat. Matt LaFleur, 17-0 when we get a turnover. I'm down with that. I am down with that. And I tell you what, this team is not turning it over themselves at a historic rate. Not a single turnover through 3 weeks. Tough to beat a team when you got Aaron Rodgers, baby. 53 after Gary went out. Oh, yeah, Garvin. Garvin was actually pretty effective on some of the third and longs that he got to rush against Armstead, who's really one of the best tackles in the game. Yeah, I mean, he didn't beat him cleanly at any point or anything like that, but he kind of surprised me. Now, I don't want to count on him for any length of time. I hope Gary's all right. He's got dealing with that ankle injury, but yeah, I was surprised. Crowd attendance in our favor for the team. David, I'm not quite sure what you mean there. The fact that there is no crowd definitely helps the Packers on the road. No doubt about that. Got that one. Okay. Yeah, I got them all. Big B. Why no Wagner? How did Billy look to you? Yeah, I was surprised I didn't go with Wagner, but Billy was running there all camp, and they seemed to like him there at right tackle, and I thought he held up pretty damn well, better than I would have thought, actually. You know, the only kind of issues they had in protection happened on blitzes, and not the two that were really egregious as far as letting pressure weren't his fault. So, yeah, it's not like Cam Jordan overpowered him at any point. I thought he played well in the run game. It's funny. I mean, I said to Matt LaFleur, this is another, I think they've obviously had a different offensive line combination pretty much every game, sometimes within the games. And you cannot say enough about the job Adam Stenovich and the offensive, you know, coaching staff has done as far as getting these guys ready. Because it hasn't mattered who's in there. They're able to execute the offense to the tune of 40+, 40+, and 30+ points. I mean, that is pretty damn impressive. Why didn't Z get a sack on the forced fumble? That's a good question. Because he's a runner, I guess. And I don't know, man. Who knows? All these designations, and they change it every year. Every year we have these long droning calls with the rules committees and blah, blah, blah. And maybe because of the action of, like, putting the ball in and he's a runner. I don't know. Let me see what we got here. Thoughts on Will Redmond versus Raven Green? That's a really good question, Alex, because to my mind, and I talked about this with Andy Herman on Let's Talk Football with Andy Herman, which you can check out here on the YouTube channel. I don't get it, man. I thought Redmond was playing pretty well those first couple of weeks, but he had very limited reps. He was holding up fine. Thought he had a rough game in New Orleans. Now, Alvin Kamara is going to make a lot of people look silly, and Redmond certainly got put in some bad spots there by Kamara. But to my mind, I would always want Raven out there over Will Redmond. And for whatever reason, and coach was asked about it after the game and, you know, asked if maybe Raven's just not ready, you know, health-wise, because he did miss an extended period of time there in training camp. He said, no, he's good to go. It's just what they wanted as far as the game plan and what they thought against New Orleans, et cetera. I don't get it. I mean, maybe the thinking is, this is the only thing I can think of, maybe the thinking is Will is a little bit more fluid, a little bit more of an athlete, sideline to sideline wise, a little faster, a little more quick twitch. Maybe the idea is the Saints, you expected them to, you know, spread it out, get Kamara in space. You wanted somebody with a little more fluidity, as opposed to Raven Green, who is an athlete, but, you know, is much more of a bruiser, more, that tweener type, plays down in the box a lot, etc. That's the only thing I can think of. But even then, I'd still want Raven out there. That's just me. So I don't know. It is absolutely a mystery to me. Are the Bears a fraudulent 3-0 team? No. They're 3-0. You are what your record says you are. They've won three games. Now, two of them they should have won, but they didn't. Or they should have lost, actually, but they didn't. So they're 3-0. I mean, it's fun to think about, though, right? Happy for Sternberger. Todd, me too, buddy. I teased him last week about the Stonehands thing, but it was great to see him get a number of catches under his belt, especially that one up the left sideline for a big gain. I loved Aaron after the first catch. Sternberger came back to the huddle. You see it on the broadcast. He's smiling. He pats him on the helmet and gives him one of those. It's just great to see him kind of basically get going finally. Matt, thank you for the super chat. Feels like no one throws at Jair, and when they do, he makes a play. What a player. Could not agree more, man. It was funny because I saw some people dogging on Kevin King. One, for a touchdown he gave up where it really is zone coverage. It is not strictly his man. He's playing to give the guy inside leverage because it's supposed to be coming inside where Will Redmond is supposed to be. But Will Redmond gets sucked up because it's a double slant, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, Jair, why would you ever throw at Jair? I wouldn't. I mean, Kevin King is going to get picked on because Jair is so good. There is no way you want to throw at Jair. Now, next week, if Julio and Ridley are both up, Jair's going to have to play some. He can expect some throws his way because there's no way Matt Ryan's shying away from him. I do think that's going to be a fun battle, fun matchup. But yeah, Jair is absolutely has all pro written all over him. It's a trap. You know, my co-founder Corey Banky will tell you there's no such thing as a trap game. I don't know if I very much totally agree with that assessment. We'll talk about it tomorrow night on Packer Transplants. Speaking of tomorrow night, hope you guys can make it. 5 p.m. Eastern, Corey in Green Bay, myself in our New York studio. Thanks so much for hanging out with me. Like I said, if you are a Patreon member, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV, the happy hour will be later this evening. Look for that information on the Patreon page. If you'd like to join us and you're not a Patreon member yet, please consider giving us $5 a month, patreon.com/CheeseheadTV. It helps support everything we do, including Packer Transplants, 5-plus hours of live game day coverage each and every game day. If you can't, totally get it. I know you live in a tough time at the moment in the country. Not everybody's got $5 a month to throw around to support some Packers blog. So please just do me a monster favor that costs you nothing. Just hit like on this video, subscribe to the channel, tell your friends, tell your family, Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great day. Go Pack, go.